God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot going on in the gospel lesson that we have before us today. And Jesus gives us, it's kind of a command. He says, have peace with one another. And part of our theme for today is, but don't forget the salt. I'm excited. This past week was really great. I had a good week. I hope you did too. Matter of fact, my week ended with me spending some wonderful time with my wife. We got some time together that we hadn't had in a long while. And that was fun. And Mom came with us. She had fun too. That was a great week. And even better this last week, I learned a new word. You believe that? I get excited over a new word. Hyperbole. You know what a hyperbole is? A hyperbole is an extravagantly overstated announcement. It's an exaggeration. Hyperbole. I even had to ask how to pronounce it. I saw it written, and I had to ask them, how do you pronounce it? Yeah. And the accent is over the per. Hyperbole. It's a neat word. Well, Jesus uses a couple of hyperboles in this lesson that we have before us today in the Gospel from St. Mark chapter 9. He sure does. The law. Jesus gives us a sermon here in this Gospel lesson that we have today. It's a whole sermon. And he covers three particular points. First, he covers the point about, well, don't be jealous that there's others that will preach about Jesus Christ. And I think you've heard from me before that there's many other churches, true Christian churches, than just the Lutheran Church Missouri City. There's some wonderful Christians around. Don't be jealous that they're teaching and preaching about Christ crucified as well. Well, our Lord tells us that. And then, you know, the context of our gospel lesson today is, you know, he's got a little kid sitting on his lap through all of this. Because just before our gospel from last week, Jesus took a little child from among them and said, you know, whoever cares for one of these little ones. So he's got this little child on his lap and he says, woe to you if you were to harm one of these little ones. What did he say? He said, it would be better for you to have a millstone thrown, a giant millstone thrown around your neck and thrown into the sea than to go to hell. And then he continues with the law. Here comes the hyperboles. Because he says, if your hand were to cause you to sin, cut it off. Of course, better you to go to heaven with one, or to spend this life with one hand than go to hell. Then he says, if your foot leads you to sin, to cut your foot off. He says, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better for you to live this life lame than to go into hell. And then he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. For it's better for you to be blind in this life than for you to go into hell. And he really gets graphic. This is where we first hear Jesus really graphically describe what hell is like. Hell's not a good place. You ever ask somebody, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Oh, I guess I'm going to hell. What's the difference? I'm having a good time, you know. Well, hell is not a good place. And here you get a little glimpse of what hell is like. The fire is not quenched. It's not put out. The fire continues and you feel the heat constantly. Forever. And then the worm part, this is the real disgusting part. Your body becomes invaded with worms, and the worms do not die. The worms are ever present, and they are there forever. Talk about gross. Like I said, there's a lot happening here in this gospel lesson today. And true to form, much the same way that we teach, preach, and confess here in the Lutheran Church, Jesus is teaching law and gospel. Now these hyperboles, these are extravagant exaggerations. Jesus says, if your hand, if your foot, if your eye, pluck it out. It's an extravagant exaggeration, but it's to make a point. Now, consider the reality. If you cut off this hand, I'm right-handed, so if I, my right hand can cause me to sin, and I cut off my right hand, am I going to sin anymore? Yeah, I still have a left hand. Now, if my right foot, it don't matter, I don't know if you can be right-footed or left-footed, but if you cut one of those feet off, is that going to stop you from sinning? Probably not. There's a lot you can do to sin with just one foot. And if your eye were to cause you to sin and you plucked out your eye, would you stop sinning then? No, you wouldn't. So really, these things don't actually cause you to sin. What does cause you to sin? But your mind and your heart. And then the commentator, Lenski, remarked that if we were to cut out our mind, there's nothing left. You'd be dead. Better to have a great millstone tied around your neck and to die slowly in the sea than to go into the depths of hell. So, what's he getting at? Heart. The mind. These are what cause us to sin. Now, he says salt is good. It is. It's good. We all have it. You ever taste your tears? You ever taste sweat running down your forehead? Guys or girls, when you're working really hard, it's hot on, you're sweating and it runs in your mouth, it tastes a little salty, doesn't it? It's because we got a lot of salt in us. Why do you suppose Jesus says salt is good? And if salt has lost its saltiness, how does one make it salty again? Well, I really thought about this. What's Jesus talking about here? He's saying, if salt loses its saltiness, well, if you think about the mineral and you get down to the real reality about salt, salt never goes away. Salt always remains. Is that true? Pretty much. Salt always remains. It can dissolve like you put a cup of salt or a cup of teaspoons of salt in a hot water. Like I was doing these last couple of weeks with these teeth of mine, rinsing my mouth out with salt water. Well, with salt, I had to wait so it would dissolve in the water some because it was really crunchy in your mouth if you didn't. So you could dissolve the salt in the water, but then if you took the water away, you would still have the salt. Now, I was in the Navy long enough that I saw out in the great saltwater oceans, the effects of salt is very corrosive. It tears up a lot of things. And it just always remains. So what's he talking about here? If salt loses its saltiness, how does it become salty again? Well, we always have salt in us. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You have salt within you. salt make up a large portion of the human body. But you, as baptized children of God, you have salt within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you. He's always with you. Salt is good. Now, how do you wrap all this up into the gospel, the good news of Christ crucified? I'm still excited because this makes a lot of sense. He wants us to have peace with one another. Now, after all the commandments, after studying all the law and all of this stuff, pretty beat down, and after a week like some of you probably had, and I've heard a couple of people tell me that this last week was not that good of a week. Perhaps some of you were sick, or someone you knew was very ill. One of our members had surgery this week, past week. She's doing okay. But if you lost a loved one, that could make a very hard week. What if you are feeling guilty, as you should, especially here in church, because of your sin? You've already heard the words of absolution. Your sins are forgiven. Now some of the guilt might remain. You're going to remember your sins. God doesn't remember your sins. You don't want Him to remember your sins. Your sins have been forgiven. They're gone. Your slate's clean as a whistle. That's an old saying from a long time ago. Clean as a whistle. And you don't hear that a lot anymore. You know what else you don't hear a lot anymore? You got to take that with a grain of salt. You have to take yourself with a grain of salt. You have to take each other with a grain of salt. Salt is good. Now, you've got tremendous guilt because of your sin. It might take more than just a single grain of salt. Because I, even in the jail, I tell those fellas, I tell them, I say, your slate's clean. You're going to pay for your crime here in this civil court system that we have. You're going to pay for that, but in the eyes of God, your sin is, it's gone. That's good news. So if you're beating yourself up with this guilt, take yourself with a grain of salt. Remember the word hyperbole. If you're not going to cut your hand off, you need both hands to serve God and His kingdom. Don't cut your hand off. Don't cut your foot off. Certainly don't pluck out your eyes, as precious as they are. What about each other? He says, have peace with one another. Take each other with a grain of salt. Yeah, we have problems doing that, don't we? I don't like the way he acts. I don't like the way she looks. I don't like what he said. I don't like the way he's doing that. And it gets worse in this day and age, doesn't it? I don't like the color of that guy. I don't like where he's from. Whew, all those foreigners. And what's worse, I don't like his religion. He says, take it with a grain of salt and have peace with one another. That's the good news. Christ crucified for the sins of all mankind, including you. You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed by Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary. And in saved with a little bit of salt. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We gather our